So I'm talking with Holt Hamilton, full name Travis Holt Hamilton.
Yes. Yep. Holt's my middle name.
So you like to go by Holt, though, as a director and producer? Or do we use your full name Travis Holt Hamilton?
Whatever. It's got, yeah.
But in your movie thing, it's Holt, right?
Yeah, Holt Hamilton is that. But then yeah. You'll see Travis Hamilton or Travis Holt Hamilton.
Yeah. Because I saw Travis, like, what is it? Did his brother produce this?
Yeah, so it's, I've created a web and I don't know how to get out of it, so. One of the things early on, well, as a kid, I wanted to play professional baseball. My career never got out of high school.
I know the feeling.
And so it was going to be Holt Hamilton. I always saw that as
That's a good baseball name.
Card, but.
That's too bad.
That's
too bad. Instead, you ended up in movies.
Yeah, I know, right? Go to baseball games, look like a little kid still dreaming of making it. But Holt's my grandmother's maiden name, so there's some special tie-ins as well.
All right, very good. And you're 47 years old, not a young camper anymore. You have, how many films under your belt now? Seven?
We have six feature films, and the goal from very early on was to, I felt like I needed an education to make 12 movies. And after that point, I would be able to call myself a real filmmaker that knew what I was doing. So I'm halfway Hamilton, halfway there.
Arizona-based,
born and raised in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Are your movies based in Arizona?
A lot of them are. I'm just based there. I guess it's easy to film, cheaper to film where you're at.
And this film, Tribal Angle, Indian woman, American Native Indian woman is the lead character, and this follows the theme of all your movies, right? There's always an indigenous angle?
We have six that there are, yeah. And we just shot another film, Finding Hojong, which is a feature that comes out. It's theaters November of this year, another Native film. But it's so a lot of them, yeah. A lot of them are. I'm focused a lot on the human element, and then it wraps into lots of times Native characters and,
Why Native characters? What draws you to that?
I lived on the Navajo and Hopi reservations for a couple years, in my 19 to 21. So that had a lot of impact on me, just that connection and realizing we're all people, we're all human. There's that connection. And then as a kid, growing up very, very intrigued and interested in Native country and now just, I love Native country. Never have to leave the U.S. or North America and have over 500 sovereign nations to go and learn and differences that are unique and similarities and just that human journey that I love and gravitate to, and made a first film happen to be native specific. You know, Turquoise Rose was kind of my experience as I went to Navajo land as the first time, you know, interacting more on a reservation. And then after that, somebody stood up in one of the early screenings we had for that movie. That was 2007. Somebody stood up and said, "Well, what's your next movie?" And I was like, "Oh, I didn't know I should make another. I'm supposed to make another. Okay, I guess." And so then it turned into another Native film because there was an audience, you know, a small audience base, I guess, for that first film. And so went out and made another film, and that expanded. And so if that's kind of the journey I'm on and love being on. And
so this movie, Touched the Water, what was the driving force behind this? It's about women in their elder age using, a gathering place of, you know, elderly.
Yeah, senior center.
Senior center. And why choose this?
I look back at the films that I've made, and there's usually a specific point that it hits an idea, like that little idea is planted, and then there's maybe, you know, few other hand kind of hinge points, little nails to hang that storyline on. And this one started that that first idea that hit was I was in California. I was doing a little jog on the beach out on a pier, and there was an elderly couple, looked very old. One lady was in a wheelchair, and I assume her husband was in, you know, was pushing her along. And as I was jogging by them, just the contentment on her face and his face of just this is them just being present and being, you know, I just felt so happy. They looked so happy, seemed so happy. And so as I'm jogging back to where I'm staying in a little Airbnb, my mind just started running. Well, what if it was a native woman from Arizona, the deserts of Arizona, that wants to go and see the ocean? And so that's where this idea started. And then from there, it's a, you know, I start having little images of like this scene or this scene. Okay, I know I want her to go to the ocean, and then just start piecing it together through writing the script. And then it still continues and evolves as you're finding the actors and, you know, finding the locations and tweaking and tightening up the story.
Did we specify the tribe she was from in the movie? Because I didn't pick up on that. Or did you keep it general?
We never said. It's an urban, you know, an urban story, urban native. And there's one little thing she does at the beginning of the film that, if you caught on, would kind of, she's Hopi. The actress is Hopi herself, but there's a little tie in there. But yeah, we never felt the need to identify or anything. Even with the film in general, we were focused on the trying to connect with the human heart. And, you know, there's other elderly women, non-native, native, that are involved in the story too. There's just that was the focus for me, is let's tell a good story that everyone can connect with. That's the stories that I find myself as, regardless of where it's at. If it's a story that I'm connecting to as a human, then I'm into the story. I'm sold. I'm going on the journey.
And the lead actress, as you said, is Hopi Indian. What was her name again?
Yeah, Pershley Ami. Yep, she's Hopi.
First time actor.
Yep. I went to a conference, a senior conference, Fort McDowell, years ago, and she taught one of the breakout sessions that I liked the topic, and so I chose to go and sit in her. And about halfway through, I felt something in my head kind of kick another part of my head or whatever, like, hey, wake up. Kind of like, look what this lady's doing. She's performing, whether she knows it or not, she's performing in front of here. And so that's where that first idea, like, this lady could play an actress. I need to get her contact info and stay in touch. And I forget the timeline. I think I met her and then this story came up, or I had this, I think that's how it was. So I met her, and then as I'm writing this story, at some point I'm like, remembering her and a few other people too that I was thinking could play the part.
You mentioned in your Q&A afterwards that there was COVID when you started this.
Yeah, we were getting ready to film. We were, you know, scrambling to finish the script. I was getting things lined up, finding actors. And then, yeah, COVID hit and we'll wait a few months and shoot. And what ended up being, I don't know, over a year or more later, a year and a half or so to get back out and finish. And during that time, I every day tried to find something to move the project forward. I ended up storyboard over 800, 900 storyboards. I did some of the props and stuff. I started making those, and just trying to get through COVID with that. But going through that whole COVID, and we all have our COVID stories, but that of like, it built up motivation, momentum that we need, prayer, all this momentum that kept going, like when we get the chance to make this film that we... So I felt like it allowed me to really get more passion, more motivation behind telling the story and doing it right. We had very little money, very little funding. I'm still learning as a filmmaker. Most of our actors were very brand new or done some other projects. And some experienced actors too that did a great job.
Financially, you said it was like $67,000 was the budget?
That was the finished, yep.
Which is not a lot in Hollywood, as you said. As an independent filmmaker, is that usually the area you work around financially?
Yeah, that's kind of mid-ground where I've worked. Stuff I've worked way, you know, under 15,000 we did a film. And then we've done one a little bit more than that. But Yeah, majority. I mean, I just shot another film right in that same price. The first film I shot was in that range. That was 2006, and I just shot one this summer in that same range.
So are you looking to continue in that realm of independent, low-budget films?
I feel a lot of that's out of my control. I've never broken. Hollywood hasn't found me. Again, I don't know how that all works.
Yeah. Well, you're a good-looking guy. You got to get out there. You know?
Well, thanks. I don't know what to do to make it happen, and I feel like I could still be with that first movie. I feel like if I wouldn't have went, first movie, we put it on 11 credit cards. I talked to people that could have funded it. Everyone said, well, who are you? What have you done? Well, I'm nobody. I've done nothing, but will you give us $200,000? And so that never worked, and so I was like, well, let's make it and do what we can, and I feel like I'm still in that realm. I don't know how to find those contacts, or I guess I've kind of given up on trying to make it to Hollywood because I don't know how to do it. Instead, I'm focused on, well, let's just keep telling the stories we can with what we have available. Sometimes we have more time. I wear more hats than I should to make a film because I'm free, you know, to do that. And then bring in people where we can and what little money we have. Try to put that to, you know, a lot of that goes to crew and actors. And, you know, then we're in hotels if we're on somewhere. That's why we shoot a lot of stuff close to where we're at, because there's no hotel expenses and some of those things. So, yeah, that's the struggle and the dilemma. But I feel like I'm, one of my strengths is just determined, you know, determined and lots of prayer to try to help things move forward. And so I look at filmmaking, you need resources, and resources doesn't just mean money. There's other resources like, oh, well, there's a house with this. We found a house that was close to where I was. It was like a perfect house that I felt the script was actually written around, wrote, that I could fit the script we had made inside of this house, that people were wonderful to work with. I think we traded with them that she got a little speaking part in the film. So we gave her a speaking part, and that was a good win for them. That was a great win for us because we filmed there 3 or 4 days. And so there wasn't all the location fees and all of those things. And so as if, independent filmmaker, it's still, you still go through the same, you know, you're still putting on the, thankfully we've been able to put it on the same screens that Scorsese and Spielberg and others have played on, very few, not the 2,500 or 4,000 or 6,000 screens, whatever it is, but we've been able to play on some. So it's like we're playing. I always relate it to baseball. It's like I'm on the JV high school team that happens to get to play on the major league field against my favorite team, the Arizona Diamondbacks or the Dodgers. So it's an unfilled. My favorite movie is Moneyball, that talks about that. Like, how do the Dodgers, you know, compete with such little money, and yet they're competing with huge money. And that's when we came out, Scorsese, when Touch the Water hit theaters. Martin Scorsese's film, Killers of the Flower Moon, was also in theaters. And I have a picture, one of my favorite pictures. I actually have a little 8x10 that I keep in my office just as a reminder of that, that you need hustle and determination. As I'm standing, it's at a Megaplex, the Harkins Megaplex in Arizona. There's like 12 screen theater. And my poster, same size in the same little light box, next to it is Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. Same size of poster, same thing. I mean, he has, of course, artwork's always good on Scorsese's posters and stuff, and I felt we did a good job that it looked. And like, here we are, we're in the same field again, but it's the JV high school team playing against, and it's not a movie competing against a movie, because you see one good movie and you're, oh, I'm never going to see a movie again. No, you're like, I want to see the next, I want to see another good movie. But yeah, you look at that, $200 million that he had to make his film, and I had $67,000 in $5 to make my film, and then... So, I don't know where I'm going with that other than, it comes back to the story. Yes, I would love to have a little more money to make a film, and you know what? What can you do? Instead of shooting, we shot 15 days on this film, maybe we could have shot it in 30, and then you can spend some time and really get performances. And by the same time, I guess I've moved on with, like, let's tell the best stories we can, focus on the story, and then try to get as many resources as we can to make the film, and then don't let that stop, and go ahead and finish making the film. And I feel like having that goal of, well, make 12 films and then you know what you're doing. I feel like that's giving me some grace or some stuff like, it's okay that the film's not perfect or you don't have all the resources. You know, it's okay. We're going through the process. We're trying to do the best we can with what we have. And it's going to be okay. It's not. I'm not a perfect director. I probably should watch some real directors and learn what they do. And my writing's not perfect. But I feel like, well, let's keep going. Let's make another film. And maybe by the 12th film, maybe I can have a little more things and know how to go and get some bigger money to make a little higher budgeted film, but still focused on the story. So that's where my focus is.
Are you self-taught or did you go to film school?
I did go to film school, Scottsdale Community College. And that was helpful. Got time hands on the camera. So that was very helpful. And then I worked the same time as going to film school. I was working at a rental house, placing film equipment rental house in Phoenix. One of the big main stops there was a place called Real Men. I was in there painting C stands and learn, but I was learning. I was learning the gear. I was meeting people coming in and out from there. I made contacts. That helped me get on more sets. We learned kind of the theory in film school. And there are a lot of, that film school is good because you have a lot of hands-on. You're doing the work. You're working the craft. And then being on set, seeing how the big guys did it. Arizona is a great place because the depth of talent isn't real deep, but you have high quality work. Crews that I was able to work right with that were working in LA and then working back and forth, so at high level. But then with that, you're seeing how high level stuff is made. And then like, well, how do you take what good things you can from that? And with little resources, how do you, I don't know if all that's making sense, but, and I forgot your question.
I think we covered it. Okay. All right. Well, very good. Peach is getting cold, so we should get going for our lunch. Thanks for talking.
Yeah. Thank you. This is coming out to Klamath, seeing the community for my first time, being here, beautiful area, beautiful people. There's so many times when you're making a film that in my mind, the vision of doing this, meeting the people, seeing reactions, hearing, that's what motivates me, like to keep going, get the next one going. Even, talking through this one, just having that vision of, yeah, someday this is going to be in a theater and there's going to be people that are going to watch it. So today this is kind of that. I think that it is. It's that reward of like all the hard work of making it happen and then encouraging to keep going and move forward. So kind of the theme of the story, support each other and help each other follow our dreams.
Very good. Holt Hamilton, thank you.
Thank you.